It's Big News Wednesday. It sometimes feels like Wednesday happens twice a week because they come so quickly between them, JR. Anyway, very glad to have Jared Jackson here. Thank you for joining us once again.
Those types of things happen when you have lots of fun, John. Just they keep coming back and forth, back to back, tons of fun.
Yeah. The issue with this metaphor, though, is that it's the time between them that seems to fly, which is, I hear, when you're having fun. So I don't know exactly how this works out for us. But anyway, very glad to have you back on. Jared Jackson is, of course, broadcasting from the set of The Watchlist, which you can watch every afternoon. You want to tell them a little bit about the show?
If I knock on this wall that's this direction, John will hear me. He's right there.
He's right there. I should test it, actually, and possibly put my fist through the wall. That would not be a good idea. I don't think Edwin would like that.
The watch list, we check out the viral videos you may catch throughout the day from politics to society to just plain ass fun. That's what we like to do on the watch list at times. Matter of fact, if you stumble across it and you find something that's not super, super important right next to something that absolutely affects every aspect of your life, that is the watch list. Some people get frustrated by it and go, is this news? It's like, hold on, just go to the next one because we'll talk about how the economy is screwing you over and how your politician that you voted for is actually taking your money and doing the bidding of the company that gave him said money to fool you and lie to you.
I know. You're just trying to have some fun. And by the way, like when someone will make a criticism like that, it's perfectly valid. You can criticize whatever story we choose. But I want to be very clear. We don't only do like what an algorithm tells us is the most important story. We have interests. We have periods where we're more interested in one thing or another. It changes over time. The news cycle changes. And sometimes, just sometimes, we are so burned out that if we don't make this fun, we will literally quit. So
straight up, hey, John,
bear with us.
Perfect example. I just got out of my meeting for my show with my producers. And I just told them, I said, I had Tucker on the dock today. No, I'm not doing Tucker. I can't do him today. I can't deal with it. So no Tucker today for me.
We did. We were talking about the eradicating the trans community thing, and we had a video we were gonna play of the pathetic little Weasley worm guy, and we decided I decided in the real time. Just I'm not doing that. Nope. Nope. We'll do the story. Not gonna see his stupid little smirking face. So anyway, these are choices we make to maintain our sanity. We think it's important for you to do it, and I think it's at least as important for me to do it as well. So that's what I'm working on over here. In any event, through today's show, we do actually have some very important news. So if that was your criticism, you should be placated by at least some of this. And then in the aftermath, some more of that, and then some stuff that probably will not satisfy you. But I'm already pre-satisfied, believe me. Anyway, we're gonna be talking about the Republican reaction to the attempt to reframe the insurrection of January 6th. Tucker Carlson.
Oh, Tucker.
We are gonna be talking about it. I apologize. But I thought he did as much as he could possibly do last month to let people know what he really thinks about conservatives and their ideology. And he has gone even further. Not consensually, of course. He doesn't want you to know any of this stuff, so it's even better. Marjorie Greene wants to deport doctors, and Matt Gaetz teaming up with progressives for something possibly good. It's a weird day of news. And that's just in the first hour. We're going to be talking about the lab leak theory and what's going to happen with Carrie Lake in the aftermath, and also Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the racists they frustrate. We've got that for you too. So, in advance of all of that, please hit the like button, share the stream as we launch it all this. And if you have any comments, tweets, super chats, if you think you have a comment insightful enough or funny enough to merit a $100 Blue Apron gift card, then send it in and we'll figure it out together. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to do this thing?
I think we're ready.
Okay. Reviews are in for the first day of Tucker Carlson trying to pretend that January 6th wasn't a horrendous attack on American democracy. Take a look at what some Republican politicians think about that.
It was a mistake, in my view, for Fox News to depict this in a way that's completely at variance with what our chief law enforcement official here at the Capitol thinks.
There were a lot of people in the Capitol at the time who I think were scared for their lives. So you can, you know, however you want to describe it. But it was an attack on the Capitol.
I think that breaking through glass windows and doors to get into the United States Capitol against the orders of police is a crime.
The point is, what happened that day shouldn't have happened.
I think it's bull. I was down there. And I saw maybe a few tourists, a few people who got caught up in things. But when you see police barricades breached, when you see police officers assaulted, all of that, or you had to be in close proximity to it. If you were just a tourist, you should have probably lined up at the visitor center and came in on an orderly basis.
Yeah, lined up in front of the police barricades and then one by one in a safe fashion. Bashed them down, beaten the cops half to death, and then stormed in. I guess that's how you should have done it. Anyway, that was, you had Mitch McConnell, Senator Thune, Senator Tillis. You had a bunch of different people commenting on that. And I'm in this weird position where I guess I'm supposed to say like that they should get credit for that. They're only saying what's indisputably true. And I think that they're freed up a little bit to be honest, because you know they were worried about being murdered that day. And they don't like the idea that that could have just been a test run for a more successful attempt to murder politicians in Congress. But they did at least call it like they saw it, like it actually is, JR. So credit to those Republicans, including Mitch McConnell.
Credit to those Republicans for seeing reality. This is the thing, though. So even these folks that are talking about, oh, maybe if you were a tourist that showed up at the Capitol on January 6th, you'd go through the normal processes of waiting in line, going through the tourist check-in center, having whatever appointment you've made, whatever the process is for being a tourist. They would have gone through that, not bashed the windows, as I think you pointed out. But the thing, though, is there were no tours, I don't think, being set on January 6th while they're in the Capitol doing the business of certifying the election. That's what's going on that day. That's why they chose it. And the pandemic, there was our limitations when it was a normal day and it wasn't the actual day when they're certifying an election. So the people who may have said, I was showing up there for a tourist visit, were you? Because the scene outside didn't feel like a tourist situation at all. If I go to the Natural History Museum, because I want to go check out the new exhibit, and there's about 10,000, 20,000 angry people outside with MAGA flags and weapons and rabid and gallows being hung and hammers and everything else that they had to break into that place and say, we're going to kill people. I have a feeling I'd be like, yeah, I think my tour is off for today because I'm not supposed to be here. That's not what I was here for. I came for the tour that is non-existent. But once I see murderous folks outside, I feel like the tour just might be cut off.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you were the weird group, one group, six people, family loaded into the van or whatever and went there during a pandemic, during the certification, and you showed up, and people are dragging cops into the crowd so they can try to murder them with their bare hands, maybe leave for the day. maybe you don't continue. I've been, for instance, to Gen Con, great board game convention in Indianapolis. People get together, they play board games. If I walked in looking to play a game of Terraforming Mars and they were ripping the arms off of one of the people running the con, I'm gonna leave, play later. You know, maybe never play that game again, probably be traumatized. But anyway, so JR is everything that you said is right. But we don't have to play these games. It's obviously BS. It's obviously BS for reasons that are obvious. That's what it is. We understand. Anyone watching the show, you know exactly why they gave him the footage. You know why he's saying this stuff. You know why some Republican politicians are not going to attack Tucker Carlson for this. Even Republican politicians like, for instance, a Ron DeSantis or a Nikki Haley or a Mike Pompeo, who have every reason in the world to want to be, or incentive to be accurate about January 6th, because they're running against the guy that led the damn thing. They are between a Trump and a hard place because they might want to criticize it, but thanks to people like Tucker Carlson, tens of millions of Republicans already believed 2 years ago that it wasn't a terrorist attack. And if you say, no, I mean, like, people died. They literally were killed. They were beaten to death. Like, people brought knives and guns and Molotov cocktails and all that. It doesn't matter how much evidence you have. They will hate you for that. These are inconvenient truths, and the right does not abide an inconvenient truth. So anyway, yes, it's all very see-through. I want to turn to one more politician criticizing this. There was a lot of Republicans, thankfully a lot of Democrats as well. Take a look at what Chuck Schumer had to say about Tucker Carlson's attempt at propaganda.
At one point, I was within 30 feet of the rioters. One of them, I was told, shouted out, "Let's get him," before my detail pulled me away and we ran in the other direction. To say January 6th was not violent is a lie pure and simple. I don't think I've ever seen a primetime cable news anchor manipulate his viewers the way Mr. Carlson did last night. I don't think I've ever seen an anchor treat the American people and American democracy with such disdain. And he's going to come back tonight with another segment. Fox News should tell him not to. Fox News, Rupert Murdoch, tell Carlson not to run a second segment of lies. You know it's a lie. You've admitted it's a lie.
But then they've admitted a lot of things are lies and they've continued with those lies. Chuck Schumer is right. They should tell him not to do it, but that should be the absolute bare minimum. They should fire him. They should fire him because they are still cosplaying as a news organization, and you cannot have a news organization with a person like Tucker Carlson, who doesn't give a damn about the truth, about facts, about journalism or ethics or the audience even. He doesn't care about any of that. He cares about himself, his own position, his own clout, his own pay. That's it. And by the way, if he was fired, he'll be fine. He'll start a podcast or whatever. Spotify will buy it for $100 million or whatever. Rich right wingers are always being protected by the system and rewarded by the system. I have no doubt about that. But they are facing this lawsuit, a lawsuit that alleges that they knowingly lie about a lot of stuff, having their most popular host out there day after day doing it as the lawsuit is proceeding. Kind of feels like it should hurt that lawsuit, but JR, what do you think?
You would think so, and that's what people keep seeing. We saw the litany of evidence against Donald Trump. We see the litany of evidence against some of his cohorts. Constantly, it keeps coming out. We're like, well, this is open and shut. This is airtight. When is it finally going to go down? It doesn't. It doesn't. It's not the way these things work. Now I'm seeing some reports about all the stuff we saw about Donald Trump happening, and now he's like, yeah, no matter what, as I'm running for president again, there's no way that you guys can do anything to me because look, I'm running. And if you guys decide to throw down some indictments, I'm still running and I'm kind of Teflon now. And the delay happened long enough for whatever reason, not inside the Justice Department or anything, but for whatever reason, the delays and the lack of that last step of doing something about everything everyone has seen is never taken. It's all there. We're up to the point now. At what point do we then think, okay, this is going to come down really hard for Fox News because we're seeing proof of what we've always known? And of course, Tucker Carlson's not going to get fired for this, John. What's the matter with you? He's running the company line. This is what he's supposed to do. This is what makes the money. Anything else, as you saw how bold he was, again, in those secret text messages, he was trying to get the fact checker fired. Get this lady fired. She's destroying the company. The company's line is to not fact check, is to not speak the truth, is to lie and to push propaganda. Tucker Carlson is doing that fabulously. He is number one at Fox News for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, one would hope that perhaps an existential threat to them in the form of a judgment that could be levied against them would be enough to change it. But and by the way, it's not like they haven't fired people before, people who were very popular. O'Reilly was fired.
Yeah.
Glenn Beck was fired. They were among the most popular. Bill O'Reilly was the Tucker Carlson of his era. I don't know exactly how they compare in terms of audience or whatever, but O'Reilly might have been more popular than Tucker Carlson at one point, and he was actually fired. Again, he wasn't fired for lying, but Glenn Beck was kind of. He was fired for conspiracy theories. Conspiracy theories have just become far more normalized in American politics on the right and especially on Fox News. Tucker Carlson initially was kind of like a combination of O'Reilly and Lou Dobbs, and now he's effectively just Alex Jones. That's what he is. But anyway, we've been talking about Fox News. Fox News is giving some early signs that they're a little bit worried about what Tucker Carlson is doing, the obvious, blatant, intentional lies that he's telling about January 6th. Here is Brett Baer trying to get out in front of this a little bit and defend Fox News from criticism.
Sicknick's partner, Sandra Garza, said she's appalled and the video downplayed his death. Brett.
Chad Pergram, live on Capitol Hill. Chad, thank you.
And to be clear, no one here at Fox News condones any of the violence that happened on January 6th.
Yeah, some of you do. You 100% are apologizing for it. You are distracting from it. You are trying to get the people who did it released from prison. You're doing all of these things. Maybe not Bret Baier individually. I think that at this point, he's probably one of the best ones on their network. Not some of the others, perhaps. And look, even if you're talking about what the people on Fox really think, well, then I guess at that point, even Tucker Carlson was calling it the act of a demonic force, a destroyer. So I guess in some ways they don't condone the violence, but when they put on their tie and they turn on the camera, then they're doing a whole bunch of condoning. They condoned two nights ago, they condoned last night. I have a feeling the easy money is on them condoning some more tonight. So Bret Baier, it's good to cover his ass, try to get out from any lawsuits or whatever. But Fox News is still, they're potentially on the line for some of the insane lies that are being told.
It's odd though, Bret Baier makes the disclaimer, hey yo, no one here at Fox News condones the violence on January 6th. The only reason you'd have to say that is because many people have heard people on Fox News say, we condone the violence on January 6th. You know what I haven't had to say, John? You know what you haven't had to say any time on any of your show this entire time? You know what Anna and Jake haven't had to say? They haven't had to say, no one at TYT condones the violence of January 6th. No one thinks anyone at TYT condones the violence of January 6th because we've been vehement about how much we don't condone the violence on January 6th. It's pretty damn obvious. So if you have to say it, it means that someone heard it said at some point on your network, probably countless times, maybe a few hours later after you finish your broadcast, Brett. So I get it. You can say, I never condoned it. You can say maybe, what's my man's name? The one that they also got mad at as well. He's an old school guy there as well. He's been there forever.
How? Shep Smith or?
He was in some of the backdoor. Wallace was part of it, but all these guys. If there's certain people who have and haven't, we know who they are. So you don't have to say it. Unless it was happening. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. You can sort of reveal the hot water you're in by acknowledging the things that other people don't have to acknowledge this stuff. That's a great point. Bear in mind, like, this is all done. Look, partially, I'm sure Tucker Carlson, it's enough for him that this, distracts his base, which he sees as a bunch of uncultured rubes, from what's really going on. It makes him look pure or whatever, and he needs that defense since so much of what he really thinks about Donald Trump and the Republican base and all of that has now become so clear. But it also defends Donald Trump. This increases the chance that he becomes the nominee, that he gets into a position to once again lose the popular vote, probably lose the 2024 election, and then we all get to roll the dice on Insurrection 2, DC Boogaloo. In all the worst ways, by the way, with how that word has been changed over the last few years. And he's watching. He bleated, great job by Tucker Carlson tonight. The unselect committee. It's one of the dumbest things he keeps saying. Unselect committee of political hacks and thugs has been totally discredited. They knowingly refused to show the capital V videos that mattered. They should be tried for fraud and treason, and those imprisoned and being persecuted should be exonerated and released now. Yes, so again, we're not gonna play a game that January 6th was anything other than what we already know it is. But I love the idea that, like, even if you accept Tucker's argument, which is that, well, there were some people who weren't trying to beat people to death with their bare hands. Trump is saying the ones who were should be released. Not there were a few hooligans, let's not cast a wide net. Let the hooligans go is what Trump says. What do you think?
And these aren't new videos. This is the same videos, but they're just putting their spin on it. And maybe some of the stuff they've shown is footage of something else to try and spin it in a different way. This is the same stuff, you guys. They're just saying, so what you're seeing in front of you is actually not the case. That fire that you see that was burned right outside the Capitol building was not actually a fire. That broken window, as you saw, as people jumped through, was broken by some alien force that shot through that Marjorie Taylor Greene has been talking to us about. Like, bro, this isn't new stuff. It's just cartoonish lies that you know your audience is stupid enough to listen to. That's all that this 100%. Is.
Were you talking about Peter Navarro?
No,
that was one person's theory.
Damn name. He's been there forever.
Okay, we'll find it. Yeah, it's all BS. And by the way, one of the funny things of Tucker showing this stuff now is, for possibly the first time in his show, he did show some of the footage showing the violence, showing them breaking down the windows and all that stuff that he protected his viewers from having to reckon with. I mean, he then goes on to lie about all sorts of different things, like they're giving tours outside of the speaker's office. Yeah, they also went in the speaker's office. You recall that? So, you know, I love a good tour. Can we tour Fox News? Can we tour Tucker's office? Can we take selfies outside of Tucker's office? Is that something that he's saying is acceptable?
Can you show up there with TYT flags, waving them and go, come out, Tucker. Come out, Tucker. We've got the gallows waiting for you, Tucker. We just want a tour.
Yeah. Just want a tour. Anyway, we do have to go a little bit over because I have a video that I just, like, we don't often have reason to talk about Anderson Cooper, but I just enjoyed this. So let's jump directly into this.
You know, I mean, the idea of Tucker Carlson being in that mob that day and not wetting his pants is hard to imagine. I mean, I find it hard to understand somebody who has never put himself in harm's way in any capacity for anyone else or on reporting a story, and yet has the audacity to try to rewrite history.
I think that Anderson Cooper is obviously a 100% correct. Tucker Carlson would be peeing his pants, and that would be the least of his bodily function worries at that moment. He'd probably be focused on him ruining his $1,000 khakis, if you know what I mean. If Tucker Carlson had to just be near any of his viewers for more than a couple of minutes, he would wet his pants. His entire life has been about inoculating himself from the real world that he makes more chaotic and hateful and dangerous and discriminatory and xenophobic and all that. He doesn't need to exist in that world. He lives in one of his many mansions behind gates with private security. And the only time he even has a chance of having the real world come adjacent to him is if he spends a couple of minutes in a Bass Pro Shop to take a couple of photos for social media or something. No, it is very easy for him to pretend that that was a perfectly acceptable situation. He has never once in his life been exposed to the sort of danger that the workers and cops and politicians were exposed to thanks to his and other right wingers' lies.
Well, sadly, they may have spared him, so maybe he wouldn't have been as afraid, because he's the one who's part of generating all this hate and distrust and lies that they went and fueled them to get to this point. By the way, it was Neil Cavuto that I was trying to think of.
Neil Cavuto, yeah, there you go.
He was saying good stuff about it and dispelling it and everything, and they didn't like him for that.
Okay, somebody's correcting me, by the way, and we don't hate fact checkers. I'm not going to call for you to be fired in the way they talk about it. Apparently, it was a Cabela's, not a bad. So apologies for that. Sorry, Cabela's. No offense or whatever. In any event, Anderson Cooper, hats off to you. More just normalizing insults against Tucker Carlson. You know, he's going to be the person he's going to be. He's patterned himself on Father Coughlin and other, you know, like demagogues and all that. And he'll make plenty of money or whatever. And he'll probably go to sleep every night hating the thing that he's become. But he needs to be shamed and vilified in popular culture at every possible opportunity. Not just him, by the way, there are many others too, but yeah, primarily him. So thank you, Anderson Cooper, for getting that started. Okay, with that said, we're gonna take our first break. We come back, we do have to talk just a little bit more, unfortunately, about Tucker Carlson, only because this isn't about Tucker Carlson. This is about trying to get through to some of the people who are unfortunately are still fans of his. I'm going to do an intervention for you conservatives after this. Noe Elizondo sent in a super chat. There's no message there, but the message has still been sent and received. Thank you, Noe, for your support. Lots of other messages to get to, and we indeed will. But
yeah,
first,
I got your message, John.
Which message?
That I'm late on my $30 a month for the gym membership that you own, the gym that I go to. You have.
You want to use it someday? We can work out together. That might actually be fun. You want to do that?
You need a spot, man. You need a spot. I got you.
We could spot each other. You live pretty close. We should do a workout.
John and I are
neighbors. A social clip. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it'll be fun. Okay, in my private gym. It's a garage. I'll put up pictures later. Anyway, Instagram.com/JohnArola. Anyway, with that said, let's talk about, I don't know, my favorite story of the year. Okay. Conservatives, I know that many of you love Donald Trump. You feel like he is your warrior, he is your defender. He is the only person who sees you for who you truly are and is going to help to advance your interests in DC. Now, unfortunately for you, none of that is true. It's not true at all. But I don't have any chance to get through to you on Donald Trump. And I'm not even trying, don't go anywhere. But Tucker Carlson is very much not Donald Trump. And I get that many of you still like him too. But what does he think about the politician that you love like you've never loved a politician before? Turns out he has strong feelings. They just might not be the feelings he's pretended they are on his show. He said of him, "I hate him passionately." This is apparently close to some of the other text messages that were revealed last week, where he called Trump a demonic force, which for the QAnon right wing seems like fighting words, invoking demons and all that. But forget about the destroying, the undisputed world champion of chaos and demons. "I hate him passionately." And he goes on, "We are very, very close to being able to ignore Trump most nights," he said on January 4th, 2021. Turns out, no, you were not that close 2 days before the insurrection. "I truly can't wait." And look, I get the sentiment. It would be nice to have an American politics that didn't by necessity need to be so much about Donald Trump. But that's me as like a lefty saying that. For you as a conservative, why is your avatar of right-wing populism talking so much smack about the politician you love? He hates him passionately and he desperately wants him to be out of the news, which isn't just insulting, it's gonna actively hurt Trump's chance of getting reelected. And that, I know, is the only hope that you have for the future, is him being reelected again. Tucker Carlson doesn't want him to even be discussed. And I'm gonna add one more little funny bit to this, because again, all of this is about the massive galactic scale gap between what he says when he doesn't think the audience he hates so much is watching and what he says on air. On air, on October 30th, 2020, this is right before the election, he said, "Reporters hate Trump with an all-consuming mania. They hate him so intensely that at times it's been amusing to watch." A couple of months later, "I hate him passionately." I don't know if it was amusing for him to watch it in a mirror or something, but again, he pretends to be one thing on the air, and privately, he is laughing at your politicians. He's laughing at the people you love and trust. He's laughing at you. And the only question is, when are you gonna wake up to that? JR, what do you think?
I don't think they will. I keep expecting it to a small degree, because of course we've seen it so many times. But you know what, this is whole thing that comes down to this is another offshoot or consequence of a rabid, unfettered capitalism. Let's keep it real. You know, we got people that are online. I did a story of these guys the other day that the car crashes them behind their podcast. And the first thing they cared about was, "Hey, let's record this. Hey, you guys, follow me, follow me, follow me." And I said, they haven't even checked yet to see if the cars run over their backs and killed them. No one has asked, "Hey, you okay, bro?" Because all we're caring about is we got to make some money off of this. This is the basis for everything that happens at Fox News. If there wasn't an incentive to making as much money as possible, Tucker Carlson might be able to be 10% more honest and say, "You know, I actually hate that guy. I don't want to cover that guy. I have other things that I'm horrible about, but I hate this guy." He can't do it because that's part of their business model. It's how they make their money. So you can't be real about these things that are very important to everyone's lives and the basis for our democracy, and lying to so many different people because you got to make that money. It's just as detrimental. You know, there's other detriments. It's a part of our capitalism. You know, unlivable wages, pollution, lack of regulation on corporations, and all this stuff. It comes from that. This is just another one. So we have pundits that can't be honest because they might lose some money if they're not honest about who they are talking about.
100%, and I agree with everything you said, and I'm gonna go one step further, because we do this thing at TYT which has no benefits and only negatives, where I'm gonna be super honest with you. There's a million different pressures on a person who puts together a rundown like this, on what stories to talk about, what stories not to talk about, how often to talk about them, at what length to talk about, all that stuff. I'm not immune to some pressures. We were just talking about this in a meeting. I like talking about environmental stories, but I also know that people don't generally like watching environmental stories, which does not mean we don't do them. It means I have to find ways to make them more exciting. That is a consideration that you can make. But that's like from here to here. Okay, that's the distance between those two things. I hate this man with a burning rage to, he's the only thing that can save this American Republic. Yeah. Is so far apart. It is, he is like Two-Face. Wasn't as much of a Two-Face as Tucker Carlson, because at least two faces were on the same face technically, which I've always felt was a weird thing. It was really two skin sides of a face. But anyway, they were close or whatever. Tucker Carlson is the exact opposite thing as what he tries to get conservatives to see him as, what he's convinced them that he is. And so that's just ridiculous. A couple more demonstrations of it. One, super minor, but he privately said that Trump skipping Biden's inauguration was so destructive. But then when Acosta, you can see him in the photo there, he made some reference, it was like within a couple months of Tucker Carlson's private text message. He made a reference to it being insane that he's not going, that's harmful to democracy or whatever. And on air, Tucker Carlson mocked him for it. Because again, Acosta felt the exact same way as Tucker Carlson, but Tucker Carlson desperately needs to pretend that he doesn't believe that American democracy is worth anything, or that a peaceful transfer of power being a part of our system is important, even just for symbolic reasons. And so it's not just that he has fascistic tendencies, is that he will play up how fascist he is for his audience.
It's a shame we've gotten to this point though, bro. That's exactly what this whole thing is about. And it's where you've seen, I think Cenk talked about this so many years before. You'll find, it doesn't happen as much, but anchors from different multiple cable stations will jump around. You know, there's many folks that used to be on Fox News, they end up somewhere else. And you go, wait a second, I forgot. He or she used to be on Fox News, now they're like a normal person now. Look, Chris Wallace was always kind of trying to be the straight guy on Fox News, but you could tell there was discomfort as things went crazier. He jumped ship, he's over on CNN, they were gonna get rid of him anyway. You know, but you'll see that it fits the narrative of that company.
Yeah, imagine being this person. Imagine being married to this person. Imagine having this person be your dad or whatever. And I guess that this is like generational trauma, because Tucker Carlson's dad was an absolute piece of garbage too. So who knows, maybe in 40 years, one of his kids will turn out to be the worst, but don't be this person. How about this? Mind your own business. I'm really trying to get that going. Can we just mind our own business, please?
We need a hat.
Okay, with that said, I know we do need a hat. That would remind people.
My bill will charge any person who knowingly performs gender affirming care in a minor with a Class C felony. It will prohibit all taxpayer funded gender affirming care. It will prohibit institutions or higher education from providing instruction on gender affirming care. There's nothing affirming about lying to children that they can change their gender, because you cannot change your gender.
Yeah, you can. Again, this is a challenge I will give to Marjorie Greene or any right winger. For the love of God, Google the difference between gender and sex. It's not difficult. It takes you 30 seconds or whatever, and you'll have time to go back to doing, you know, awful like pull-ups in your CrossFit class or whatever. But the issue is that she is a representative, and she is trying to outlaw this sort of care around the country. And could we possibly bring that video up as B-roll? Because I want to make a little point about this, because everything that Marjorie Greene does is a dumber, more immature, lower class, more conspiratorial version of what everyone else would do. So she wants to make this bill to get rid of the trans community or whatever, effectively. And so she's like, so I know in Congress they do like a sign that's next to them or whatever. We should get a sign. And then they're doing their little meeting or whatever. And one of them's like, aren't we supposed to pretend that the science is on our side? I mean, I know it's not, and we hate it, but like, we should say trust the science. We're not gonna Google the science, but we should say, no, that's not good enough. We should put it on the sign with an exclamation point to prove that we mean it. But then like, what if they ask us to cite the science? Well, we wanna have a shield. So we're gonna put it in quotation marks, like we're quoting someone. Who are you quoting? God only knows. It's not actually quoting a person. It's just in quotation marks for some point. All of this is utterly pointless. The issue is that she does actually wanna pass this. It's never gonna pass, or at least not gonna pass while Democrats have control of at least one house of government, JR. But to have this be the thing that our government is working on is just truly depressing.
I say it every time. If you guys are watching the types of things that they're doing, these investigations that Jim Jordan was leading, that who knows when the next thing's going to happen there so they can make fools of themselves again. From the Hunter Biden stuff to then talking about all these other things. Again, gender affirming care. Let's get these men out of these women's locker rooms. All this stuff that is not happening. Ask yourself, when they were running in 22 and expected this red wave, and they were promising to end to inflation, stopping the illegal immigration at the border, we're going to put the wall back up, we're going to bring accountability back, we're going to clean the swamp, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Housing is going to get better. Your educational system is going to get better. All this stuff that they talked about. Where are those bills? Where are those discussions? Where are those amendments? Where are those? MAGA, where are they? They're good not questions. There because they know you don't give a damn. You're here to hate, and they're benefiting off of that. They're doing nothing based off of your hate, and they're getting paid handsomely for it to get back in office and continue to do nothing as your life gets worse. And then when it gets worse, they say, isn't it that gay person's fault? It's that Latino's fault. It's that immigrant's fault. It's that woman's fault. They keep coming at you with other people to go and target, and you just walk right into it like a dummy. And then while you're sitting there in your trailer park home that's falling in with mold around it, they're laughing at you and like, come out and vote for us again, sucker.
Yeah. Isn't it weird, conservatives, that the worse situation you find yourself in, the better for the Republican Party it is? Is that how the incentive should work? Finally, on this, Green's bill isn't just transphobic. That's not enough. You gotta go above and beyond. And so in this bill, it targets foreign doctors, claiming that any non-US resident who performs gender affirming care will be deported and deemed inadmissible to the US. Now, some of you watching this who have functioning brains might think, wait, what? Is this a thing? Is this a particular concern? Are there a lot of like, are they importing Irish doctors to do gender affirming care? No, this isn't a thing at all. She just cannot miss literally any opportunity to call for people to be deported. She just really needs people, someone, somewhere to be deported. And so she threw it in there as well. And by the way, I know, you know, playing video of hers can be traumatic for some people. I will say that if there's any silver lining, it is that I hope that Saturday Night Live brings back Cecily Strong to just do another impersonation of her, especially with the trust the science stuff on this Saturday's episode. Fingers crossed. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take a short break. We come back, lots more fun, so don't go anywhere. Okay, Vanessa Maldonado says, let's see how long it takes for someone to come up with art about dumbbells and dragons. Oh no, I need to do some AI art generation for that because I do want that sign now.
Oh, that's probably gonna be dope.
Let's see what I can do. Anyway, we have other news to talk about that's not about dumbbells or dragons. Let's start off with this.
Let me ask you about Ukraine. You've said that before. Why would it not have happened if you were president?
Are you talking about which one with Ukraine?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Putin understood. You can't do it. You can't do it. First time, first president in a long time, he understood. He would have never done it. He would have never. That's without even negotiating a deal. I could have negotiated. At worst, I could have made a deal to take over something. You know, there are certain areas that are Russian-speaking areas, frankly. But you could have worked a deal. And now Ukraine is just being blown to smithereens.
Oh, and he hates that. It bothers him so much that when he's asked a question about Ukraine, he's paying so little attention. He says, which one's that? The one with Ukraine? Yes, the one with Ukraine. How would you have stopped it from happening? And so there, I mean, look, we could just focus on the fact that he goes into this insane idea that Vladimir Putin, who thinks he's a complete powder puff, would have not invaded a country wanted to if Trump was in office. That's laughable. Honestly, if you believe that, seriously, you need to check out of paying attention to politics. This is no chance in hell. But that's not actually what's important about that. That was on Sean Hannity's radio show. Sean Hannity obviously also has a TV show, and he played a section of that. And I say section because he didn't play the whole thing. He played a section that had a bit cut out in the middle, which was about effectively him saying, if I was president, I would get this peace deal by giving away portions of Ukraine to Russia. Now look, you cut things out when you do sots. Like even the sots we're playing in this block are edited mainly for time. You cut out the boring parts or long pauses and stuff like that. But cutting out a section that gets to the heart of his response, what would you actually do to stop this war? It seems like Sean Hannity doesn't like that answer and is playing defense for Donald Trump. And think about this, you actually get an interesting response from a politician as a journalist. They reveal what they would actually do, it's something controversial, and thus one would think you would have an ethical obligation to make sure that your audience knows about it. Instead, you defend the politician from scrutiny by just taking it away and stopping your audience from knowing it. Your job as a journalist has become making it so that your audience is more ignorant because they watched your show. It's crazy, JR.
And that's why earlier I was talking about Tucker Carlson not gonna see any kind of punishment from Fox News. The whole idea to protect these folks that you're supposed to protect, all up to Rupert Murdoch when he was talking about giving certain, when they gave certain information to Kushner, or they said we have to focus on Georgia to help Republicans. The whole point is to help the party and to help certain folks get elected. It has nothing to do with any journalistic integrity or actually telling the story, or when you have something you're like, oh my God, this could be big, which by the way, I guess it's neck and neck between money making and protecting the Republican Party from being exposed for the people that they are. But in this particular case, you could have still made money. You could be like, look what Donald Trump said, exclusive. But it would destroy this head of the party. And that is, I guess, priority number one, even over the money. Yeah. They can make the money still though, so they figure they can have both.
Yeah, look, I think, again, I'm not a psychic. I can't look into Sean Hannity's brain and know why they edited that out. I think that we've laid out, I think, a plausible explanation. But what's interesting about it is it even necessary? Like, would Sean Hannity's audience, who probably loves Trump in the same way that Sean Hannity does, would they even disagree with him? Yeah, give it away. Yeah. Like, by the way, more Republicans care about what's about the Ukrainian people than you might think. We've seen the polls, we talked about the polls here, but they have also had it drilled into them day by day by day that they should just be left to whatever, they're not being diplomatic, they're all Nazis, whatever nonsense you want. I wonder how much they would actually disagree with Trump saying, yeah, just give Putin whatever he wants, give him the Donbas, give him the entire east of Ukraine or whatever. And oh, by the way, the cool thing about that deal is that Putin would never want anything else again. That's it, you're done, you're good at that point. I wonder how much they would actually disagree with it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Sean Hannity does know his audience better than I do.
John, I did a story of Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was promoting all the Civil War and everything. And many regular ass Trump MAGA people went on TikTok and were like, pleading to Putin, hey, just come take our guy out. We know that you're not a really bad guy. They'd be completely open to Donald Trump saying, yeah, go ahead, have at it, bro. We like it. I remember the whole thing in Helsinki when he's standing next to Putin. He's like, I trust this guy more than my American intelligence agencies. And they were like, good job. Nice strong stance there, Mr. President.
That's true. Yeah, there's good reason to believe. Well, we're gonna move to one more topic, again, related to war. First of all, Noe Elizondo, thank you. I see your super chat and I see your massive hippopotamus, I think it is. We almost did a story about hippopotami this week, actually. We'll see if there's enough for an animal news segment later.
I love hippos, they're the best.
Are you serious?
No, it's one of my favorite, I love hippos. It's they're fascinating creatures.
I mean, they're hungry, I'll grant you that. But they're terrible beasts.
They're quite
vicious. They're basically dragons, but like in a bad way. They just eat everything. They're huge and super dangerous. It's they need to be stopped. I'm kidding, don't hurt a hippo. As if you'll have an opportunity.
You can't.
Someone's gonna be like driving down the road, there's a hippo there and like, should I hit him? No, I think you're gonna, don't, by the way, you'll wreck your car. Okay, with that said, with all that weird stuff said, let's move to our final story of the hour. Matt Gaetz is joining up with progressives to do something potentially positive. He wants to team up with not only the Congressional Progressive Caucus, some of the best progressives in the House, and a former Obama ambassador to force the US withdrawal from Syria within 180 days. You might have forgotten our long involvement in Syria. Earlier today, I was trying to remember, wait, how many soldiers do we actually have there? Oh, we still have a lot, and they're looking to end that. The resolution is scheduled for a vote later on today, of course, Congress exerting its congressional authority over wars generally not received well from the White House. So we'll see what Joe Biden thinks about this. But Matt Gaetz tweeted about it. Contact your representative today and ask them to support my legislation to withdraw US troops from Syria. So that is a Republican, many of whom love to say like, well, we don't want any wars, any involvement, whatever. We were also fine with Trump continuing all of the wars. And when Biden pulled us out of one, we've been whining about it ever since. But no, he actually wants to end our involvement here. And Robert Ford, who was Obama's ambassador to Syria back in the day, argued in a letter to Congress in support of Gates' legislation, saying that the US mission has no clear objective. After more than 8 years of military operations in Syria, there's no definition of what the enduring defeat of ISIS would look like. We owe our soldiers serving there in harm's way a serious debate about whether their mission is, in fact, achievable. And we can go into a little bit of what some different people think about, you know, about the current state of ISIS there, the current state of the mission there, but it doesn't get discussed. These wars just continue until someone makes a big enough stink about it, and that's probably not how the system should function. Jared, what do you think?
Yeah, it's odd because that's the thing. I looked up and I went, wait, Syria. Yes, you forget about it. The people who have to deal with it and fight and are being devastated by it, they don't forget about it. It's just one of those aspects of being privileged enough to not have to think about it. But then when it gets brought up, you have to rethink and go, wait a second, is this necessary? What kind of resources are going to this mission of what and who's being affected by it? Once all that could maybe get discussed, that's when maybe some other real conclusions can come. But it goes back to an earlier point that you were making, John, about maybe doing stories that maybe some folks aren't as interested in, say environmental ones, which are extremely important to our life in our world. But people don't really want to pay attention to that because it's not fun, it's not sexy, it's not interesting enough. Yeah. So these things can just go on and on and on. So I'd have to even know many of what Matt Gaetz's his motivations are in doing this, because you kind of don't trust the guy, but you're like, this sounds okay. So it's a lot of things to sift through to determine whether or not this is something that should have been done way before and why it hasn't.
Yeah, yeah. And it'll be very interesting to see what the response is from other Republicans, from Joe Biden. But anyway, I want to give you a little bit more from the progressives. Congressional Progressive Caucus put out a statement saying this measure to remove unauthorized deployment of US armed forces in Syria unless a specific statutory authorization is enacted within 6 months is largely consistent with previous bipartisan efforts by CPC members to terminate such unauthorized military presence within 1 year, for which 130 House Democrats voted yes last year. One would think that if you get 130 people in one party to support it last year, and then you have another year of the mission without, at least as far as has been presented to the public, a better continuing reason for it to go on, you could probably get more. As of right now, there's apparently around 900 American troops in Syria, not counting contractors, they say. This is according to reporting from Ryan Grimm at The Intercept. Not counting contractors, I don't know exactly what that means. I don't know if there's 24 contractors. I don't know if there's 500. I don't know if there's 10,000. I would love to find out, but 900 soldiers is a significant deployment that's been going on for a very long time. I want to close with a comment from Ilhan Omar, who says, the CPC has been leading on this front and nothing has changed. I wish Gates worked more closely with the coalition of groups that have been working on this and the CPC. Nonetheless, I am a yes on the resolution. And sort of leaking from that is, yeah, we've been trying to do this, but sure, I guess if Gates is going to get involved, then we'll do it with him too. If I was Representative Omar, I would probably be a little bit uncomfortable about this weird temporary alliance with him. But if it does some good, then it does some good.
Yeah, you already know politicians want to slap their name on something to maybe use for any kind of thing in the future. You know, especially when it comes to sponsoring or co-sponsoring and being the name on it. You want to make sure that as people see this later, like, oh yeah, so-and-so is a part of that. And I think that's part of Ilhan Omar's issue with it. She's like, we've been working on this, and now suddenly because he wants to, you guys are accepting of it. Yeah, they do want credit. It's both party type of thing. That's how you get back into office.
Yeah, 100%. And they love these little symbolic things to let them pretend to have the exact opposite position that they honestly do. Marjorie Greene will be like, I want to cut all the funding to Ukraine because I'm anti-war. And then the next week she's calling for an invasion of northern Mexico. Like, I wonder if she's really anti-war, if there's something else going on. Anyway, with that said, that's all the time we have for the first hour of the show. To those of you on the linear platforms or listening on the podcast, thank you so much for your continuing support. If you're on the podcast especially, consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, or let someone know that you enjoy the show. Podcasts rely on word of mouth more than almost any other type of content online, so we would appreciate that. If you're on any of the other platforms, though, there's a lot more to come in the aftermath, including us diving deep into the latest developments in the universe of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.